My dear friends, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to begin our message today with a quick question. How many of you have gardens? Raise your hand. Not a whole lot, but some. All right. Well, you know, all of us are probably pretty familiar with gardens, especially those of you that have a green thumb. Or like myself, you just simply are couch potatoes with a thumb that is on the remote control. And all of us probably know something about planting seeds, I'm sure, also. We know that, of course, not all seeds are going to that are planted into the ground end up as full-grown plants. All you have to do is come to my house and look in my backyard, and you will see that that is very, very true. Some seeds are planted, don't make it along the way, and there are a variety of reasons why that happens. But even so, we know that seeds that we do plant in many cases will produce plants, and they will yield a crop of fruits or vegetables. Those seeds are sown, and they will achieve the purpose for which they were planted, despite many other failures that might occur. That, in brief, is the message of our story today. But no, Dick, I am not done. I'm going to continue on. It is a story. It is the story of seed sown in the soil and the different results that will happen. We know it as the parable of the sower, the Holy Gospel for today, from Matthew chapter 13. In this parable, Jesus is talking about the Word of God that is preached and how that same Word, in some cases, will be taken away and it'll die. And in other cases, it takes root and it grows and it produces an abundant crop. This text is one of the two very important stories that Jesus tells in the Gospel of Matthew, having to do with how we hear God's Word, especially how we listen to it. The first story, of course, is the one about the two house builders, the wise man who built his house upon a what?
A rock,
all right? And the foolish man who built his house on
sand.
And we preached on that text several weeks ago. The other great story about how we listen to the Word is, of course, the parable of the sower, which we're going to go into more detail in just a few minutes. Both texts, though, make the same important point. It is that when we hear the Word of God being preached to us, that we take great care about how we are listening, that we take it to heart and not let it go into one ear and then right out the other side. It's not just that we are exposed to God's Word. Remember the foolish builder? He also heard the words of Jesus, but he didn't build his life on them. Likewise, in today's parable, we're going to be looking at several different kinds of soil that the Word is sown into them, but not all of them end up with living plants. In other words, many people have the Word preached to them, but not everybody receives it in faith. And so, I'm reminding you today, take care in how you listen. So, the parable of the sower starts out this way. The sower, and you might think, well, duh, we know that. That's obvious. Yes, but we don't want to breeze right by that point. It all starts with the sower. And in this case, the sower is Jesus. He comes sowing his seed, that life-giving Word that he brings to us. And he wants to sow that seed in our hearts, all people's hearts. And it all starts with him. It is his initiative that the sowing is done, and furthermore, that there is good seed to be sown. So he comes, the sower comes, with life-giving seed. Jesus came into the world, put life into that seed. Without our Lord, though, there is no seed. There's no gospel for us to plant. The good news is, of course, that Jesus came into the world to be our Savior. He lived the perfect life. He came and earned God's approval and righteousness, something that every one of us lacks. The Son of God came in the flesh. He lived a holy life of love that God intended for each of his human creatures, in which we all blow on a daily basis. And that's good in itself, but there is more. What could we be done about justice that God demanded? Those who sin shall die. We sin, and so we deserve death. Death separated, of course, from God and under his judgment. So there was a penalty that had to be paid, and that penalty was paid by his Son, Jesus. That was a sacrifice. It was a substitute for us as sinners. And that was Jesus, our Savior, who went to that cross for each and every one of us. But the good news doesn't just stop there. Jesus did it all. Yes, he did. But sin had to be atoned for. Death had to be defeated and deflated. And so Jesus rose. He rose on Easter morning to tell us the good news. It's in him that we have those forgiveness of sins. It's in him that we have the victory of life. He is our way preparer. He leads us into the kingdom of heaven. And we follow him and we enter. Because without him, we would all be lost. He is our everything. And so that's the good news, and it's life-giving. But it puts us into contact with the author and also the source of our lives, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And it is by faith in him, trusting in him, that we receive what he has to give, gifts of life and fruitfulness and a never-ending life. Well, how important is that then, that we hear these good news, this gospel, to receive it in faith? Well, there is no other way to receive the life that Jesus has for us. And so Jesus comes. He brings that gospel into our lives. He comes as the sower. He sows the seed of his word into our hearts. And again, it is our Lord who takes the initiative. He does it all. It's his seed. He packs it full of life. At first, our Lord Jesus did this through his own mouth, and he went about preaching and teaching like we hear him in the Gospels. And then he did it through his apostles. It was still Jesus preaching, but he used those guys' mouths to get the word out. And the same thing, though, is happening today. Jesus is still preaching, only he does it through the ministers and preachers that he sends. Their mouth is his word. He who has ears, who hears you, hears me, he tells his preachers. And the flip side is this too. He who rejects you rejects me. It is important that we listen to those preachers, the sowers of the seed that Jesus sends out in his name. Because how we receive that preacher is really how we are receiving our Lord Jesus. And so the sower comes sowing the seed, preaching the word. The word is preached, the seed is sown. But where it lands, though, and what happens to it then, that is where the story takes some twists and some turns. You'll see on the screen here some examples of the four kinds of soil that are mentioned in this parable today. We're going to take a look at each one of those. Some seed in that first picture, it lands along a path. It's a hardened path where the seed just lays on the surface, making it easy pickings for birds. The seed doesn't last long there. Why? Because the birds come along and they gobble it up. And so we need to realize that there is an enemy who is at work in the field doing whatever he can to take that word away from us. I would suggest today that the bird you see, that old bird, that bird is the devil, and he is the enemy of our souls. And so that makes him also the enemy of the church. He will try to stir up trouble in the church, to get our eyes off of Jesus, to get us distracted with other things, so that the word is not allowed to sink in. It'll just lay there on the surface, never sinking in, never going down into our hearts. And that old buzzard will swipe it away from us. I'm here to remind you that the devil is at work. He's at work in that garden just as he was at work in the garden at the time of Adam and Eve, trying to take our focus as he did their focus off of God's word. And then they ended up blaming each other. I encourage you, be wise to his tricks. The devil will steal away God's word from us if we are not very careful. See that your heart is not so hardened that the word just lays on the surface. As we did earlier, we repent. We repent of the anger or bitterness or the unforgiveness that might lie in our hearts. In your second picture, you see the rocky soil. There, that seed falls. Here, the word is planted. And because the soil is so thin and rocky, it springs up faster. It reminds me of my front yard. And a week later, it looks like it's dead. You see, the rock that is just beneath those surfaces causes that soil to heat up quicker, and thus the plant grows faster at first, but it doesn't last. Because the rock is still there, the roots can't get established, and before too long, the plant dies out. How often have we seen that happen in the church? When a lot of people are brought in too quickly with no grounding in the word, they may be enthusiastic for a little while. They may be active. They may be very eager at first. But because they have no root, because they don't see, we won't see those people anymore. They're gone. They have no staying power. Church for them was just a fad, a thing to do for a while, or they were coming for the wrong reasons. The rock just below the surface was never dealt with. They never got rooted and well grounded in the word. And I ask you this morning, are we in this for the long haul, this listening to God's word business? Or is it something that can come and go, depending on how we like, for example, the preacher, or the hymns that we sing, or the color of the carpet, or whether somebody said hi to us as we entered the church this morning, or perhaps as we leave today? Those are pretty flimsy reasons to come or not to come to church. That is what I say, soil that's too thin and rocky, and the word is not going to take root. In that case, it's no wonder that when something doesn't go our way, what happens? We leave the church, and thus we leave the word of God. And that's what happens when seed falls on rocky soil. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, Jesus says the rocky soiled person will quickly fall away. These are the people who come to church when everything is smooth and hunky-dory, but when the church has to deal with some issues, maybe about truth, maybe about error or doctrine or practices, and there are some unpleasantness that goes along with that, then those folks are just as likely to fall away and stay away. And that's when the seed is planted in thin and rocky soil. And then you have your third example there, the weedy soil. This word is sown, and guess what? The plant comes up. But that's not the only thing that comes up. Thorns also grow around the plant, and they choke out its life. What are those thorns? Those thorns can be the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth. Some people lose the word because they put a higher priority on other things. the time that they should be setting aside to hear our word of our Lord being shared, they feel they can't spare the time because they have to be making more money, or maybe they have to spend more time on other things like recreation or pleasure or family outings, anything, anything but the preaching of God's word. And so the word gets squeezed out. No time in the schedule for it. I've got more important things to do. But the truth is, man does not live by bread alone, or by money alone, or recreation, or pleasure. But man does live, and truly lives, only by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God's word is the only priority that will make any difference for eternity, and there is nothing more important. Therefore, again, I say to you this morning, don't let anything, anything, choke the word of God out of your life. And so far, we have three failures. But we finally come to the success story. But I want you to notice, it wasn't the word, or it wasn't the seed, it wasn't the word that failed. No, in all four cases up there, the same word was shared. It was sown in all those places. The same word that perhaps one person ignores, or three persons may ignore or refuse to hear, that same word will take root in another person. And it produces a great harvest. And that is what God will do for us this day and all the days to come. His will is that we hear His word, we hear the word of God being preached, and that we will let it sink in, take a deep root, and spring up and grow and produce fruits, good fruit. The good news of Christ will do that for us. It's nothing in us. The life is all in the seed, the word that is shared. But take care how we hear that word. See that nothing will take away or kill off or squeeze out the word of our lives. Don't give up in spite of the obstacles. God is here. He is here to clear those obstacles away. Jesus has defeated the devil, the old buzzard who would swipe away the word. And God will clear away the rock just below the surface of our hearts. He'll remove that rockiness. And that sometimes, perhaps He even has to blast it away through the preaching of the law to lead us to repentance. And don't get caught up in the worries of this life. I know we have that big worry, the pandemic. But you know what? God is still our Heavenly Father, and He will take care of us just as He cares for the flowers of the field. And so we are here today to be reminded that we trust in Him and not in ourselves. God will do everything that is needed for the Word to grow in our lives, and that we will be healthy plants bearing fruits of faith. He sends His sowers to keep on preaching the Word to us. Jesus feeds us with all the nutrients that we need, with the rich food of His heavenly feast. He waters the plant to refresh it and give it life with the ever-flowing waters of holy baptism. God takes care of His garden. He will cause it to grow. And so my word of encouragement again today for you is to listen to that word, whether it be here at church or in your private devotions at home or in group Bible studies. This is happening, and it's happening today. Jesus the sower is busy. He's busy sowing seed, the good news of the new life that we have in Christ. He who has ears to hear, and that is you and me, let us hear. And God's people said, Amen. And now, O divine sower, keep us from becoming discouraged as we entrust our lives to your word and seek to share your message of salvation with others. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.